line from Washington. Senator, thanks for coming on with us today.
Happy to join you again, Boyd.
All right. It was reported in the Washington Post late last week that the Homeland Security Department would be placing a what really amounts to a 500% increase on the delivery of family history records through the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. And you've obviously looked at that. Your staff has done a deep dive on it, and you've sent a letter over asking some important questions. Tell us about that.
Well, it came as a real shock, but the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services folks charge a fee for people if they want to get information regarding an immigrant that came in through any one of our legal ports, and if people want to get a copy of this kind of a document and learn more about a family member, an ancestor, why they apply for it, they get it and they pay a fee. And in the past, that fee has been, well, $65 or so. And then they came out with a new rule saying, oh, by the way, we're raising the total cost. If you want to get a search and then a records fee, why it's going to go from a modest number to $625.
Wow.
I mean, it's an unthinkable, it's a 500% increase. So I was pretty alarmed. We contacted the department and said, look, I want a complete accounting. I want to understand how much fee revenue you get right now, what your costs are. Have those costs changed? Have they gone up? If so, by how much? And basically, let's go through the numbers and see how it is you're trying to justify this number. Because my own guess is they're facing tight budgets, and they've decided, hey, here's a group of people that no one will hear from. We'll just jack the fee way up to the moon, and we won't hear back. Well, yeah. Too bad. They're going to hear back, and it makes a real difference to a lot of us.
That's right.
Who care about being able to get genealogical records from our government.
And it's so important, and it is, as you said, Senator, a transparency and an accounting and accountability piece that's so important. As you mentioned, it does impact everyone from the professional genealogist to those doing their family history. I thought it was interesting that the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services officials declined to explain how they arrived at those new fee amounts, and that obviously, as you mentioned, they're under tight budget things, but they also have a $1.26 billion budget shortfall. And is this one of those examples where, again, government that isn't transparent, where you have an agency, not elected officials, saying, ah, we're just going to move this up. We'll open up a 30-day window for people to comment. No one will really know. And then the fees will go up and our budget will be balanced.
Yeah, I think you're right, which is I have to admit that I've been in this position before looking for sources of revenue, and I've raised a fee or two, and so I can't have entirely clean hands, but I can tell when people are raising fees well beyond the number that ought to be applied. And my own view is that a fee ought to reflect what the actual cost is of the government to carry out a particular service. And we're not expecting taxpayers to subsidize people who want a particular government service, but the government should not be making a huge profit on providing a service which is an important service to many, many people. And so I'm insisting that we know what is the cost of providing this service, and have they turned this into an opportunity to try and balance their budget on the backs of people who care about genealogy and family history.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, why then I'm going to be moving towards legislation or other action that will prevent that kind of direction. And by the way, I think they'd probably adjust. If they got enough
sure.
heat, they'll see the light.
That's yeah. It's amazing how that works. Sometimes the heat does create a little bit more light than they anticipate. But it is, as you said, this is reasonable. This is responsible. And again, I think it's an area where you're showing your focus on the constituency here in Utah who are clearly concerned about that. If you're just joining us, we've got Senator Mitt Romney on the line. And Senator, I know we've got just a short window with you today, but I wanted to jump quickly to another topic, something that you've been talking about specifically today as it relates to the drug cartels, another big concern along our border. Give us some insight into what's happening. A lot of people think nothing's happening in Washington but impeachment proceedings. You're showing today that there is some serious and important work being done.
That's right. There are a number of senators who, like myself, are introducing a bill which imposes very substantial sanctions on drug cartels. And the way we're going about that is, instead of coming up with an entirely new approach to how we take on these institutions, these groups, these awful drug cartels, is that we're basically categorizing drug cartels as terrorist organizations, because we already have extensive legislation and procedures for dealing with terrorist organizations, and those procedures and strictures relate to financial penalties, the ability to arrest people that are parts of terrorist organizations, the ability to prevent them from coming into the U.S. and so forth. So those things are already in place. With regards to terrorist organizations, what we're saying is we now want drug cartels to be listed as a terrorist organization and be subject to the same kind of penalties, the same kind of, authorities to our law enforcement would now be able to be applied against these cartels. So it's a big step that will give us a lot more weaponry, if you will, to go after these cartels.
Oh, that is just critical work there, and again, important work that is being done. Before I let you go, Senator, if I can sneak one last question in. I know you were part of a really important conversation, impacts a lot of folks here in the state of Utah, but a beginning conversation today around family leave. Can you just tell us where that conversation is going and where you think that's likely to head into the new year?
Well, I'm pretty encouraged that we're really making progress on family leave. And frankly, Ivanka Trump has been one of the champions of this, and I think that's had an impact. One aspect that's going to become part of law very shortly is that government workers, federal government workers, are going to have a family leave provision, which allows people to take 12 weeks off after the birth of a child to be able to stay home and still be paid. I hope many, if not all, private companies do the same thing. We're not going to mandate that, but I hope that happens. But then there are a number of people that are not going to have that benefit from their company. And so a number of senators, Republicans and Democrats, gathered this morning to talk about legislation that we're proposing that will allow people, if they wish to do so, to take some of their retirement benefit from Social Security and pull it forward to the time when they've just had a child. And then they can pay it back during their retirement years, either by taking in a slightly smaller retirement benefit from Social Security, or perhaps delaying the age that they begin taking their Social Security benefit. So it's allowing people, it's allowing moms or dads or moms and dads to pull from the future an income stream that will now permit them to provide the time that they need to help bring a child home and provide the kind of parentage that you hope that they'd have. And I'd note, you know, we know that the first several months, the first year or two of a child's development is critical in the development of their brain and their long-term future. So this is really a high priority for me.
That's so great. And I know that's going to be one that's going to continue on there, but it's bipartisan. There's a lot of great activity allowing both the free market to drive some of the things and giving people choice in terms of how they use that time, how they may use it on the back end, working a few months longer or so on the Social Security side. So great innovative conversations that are so vital. Senator Mitt Romney, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate you showing us that there is some real serious and important work happening in Washington for the country and for the state of Utah.
Thanks, Boyd. Good to be with you again.
All right. Again.